our Tulsa public schools were not integrated at this time either.
No.
Yet white teachers were being integrated into the system.
Right.
You got involved in that as well. I think you became a substitute teacher.
Right. I became a substitute teacher simply because when they first integrated the school system, they integrated teachers, but they didn't integrate the pupils. The starting point was integrating teachers. The dedication on the part of the black teachers were high. You know, they'd come to work sick. There were no absentees, but the white was a little different story. They might have had a hangover on Sunday night or something like that. And Monday morning, I always had a job. I mean, I was working. But I went out and was talking with one of the principals, and he mentioned his problem was finding people to fill in places because an unmanned class during the day would disrupt the day. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, I have a teacher certificate in social studies in English when I was an accredited teacher when I came here from Nashville. If I can help you, I'll go out and sign up as a substitute. He said, well, you do that. And I went out there one day to sign up. They called me the next day to come to one of the schools. And I told him, I said, well, I haven't been approved yet. He said, that's all right. We'll see to it that you get paid. And I guess I worked a couple of months before I was really on the payroll when I had unlimited days for 12 or 14 years, even though I was pastoring the church. I'd work here, work with the school system, teaching social studies or English. I worked on a secondary level and did a lot of that. It helped in a lot of ways, even with my own situation.
You got paid, but you drew from that enormously because then the whites were integrated,
yeah,
brought into the school system.
Right, yeah.
Like we're talking about Booker T. Washington.
I didn't work at Booker T. Washington. I worked at McLean.
Okay.
And I worked at the secondary level on the junior high, as they call them. They call them middle schools now. I worked at Marian Anderson, mostly, which was a middle school. I worked at Carver.
So you were there then when the white students were brought into those schools.
Right.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because the anticipation of that happening in the first days or weeks had to be some time of tension.
Well, it seemed like to me that it wasn't that bad. Of course, I wasn't there with it every day. Once they got settled in the various schools, it was kind of routine. I mean, I started phasing out, too, at that particular time.
But it gave you a feel so that when you were talking,
yeah,
to young people here in the church, you understood what they were talking about.
Yes, certainly.
I believe Dr. Bruce Howell was superintendent back then.
A fellow named Mason was superintendent of the school.
Yes, Bruce Howell came after him. Another activist was Nancy McDonald.
Well,
remember
Nancy McDonald, I know Nancy McDonald.
Yeah. She was a volunteer.
Volunteer.
And when Booker T. Washington was integrated, she was there.
Oh, yes, certainly. Yeah, I remember when she was
when
up
was there.
Yeah, they had community leaders, you know, they had folk in there to kind of help with the integration process. And I wasn't one among those. Matter of fact, as I say, I did work very little with Booker Washington. Most of my work was with the secondary schools.
The Ku Klux Klan, was their presence made around in this time period, or 50s
never,
or 60s when you were around?
I never witnessed any of the Ku Klux Klan, except the only time I even saw a Klan was in Jacksonville, Florida, when I was there attending a convention during the 60s when they had opened up the hotels to African Americans, even in Jacksonville, Florida. And they had some Klansmen that were walking around the hotel, you know, picketing the hotel.
Did they have their hoods on?
Hood on. I remember I was sharing a room with the late Reverend J. Cassidy Jackson of Paradise. He and I were attending a convention together. We made a joke of it. I said, now, there was a time when we mentioned the Klans that we would be running in the opposite direction. I said, now, we're going to get up out of our beds and go down and stand on the street and watch and look at the Klans because of the fact that the times have changed when we'd be running.
Yeah.
But now we are able to, because we are protected. Of course, the police officers were out there also. And I was told that they were not necessarily there to protect us as much as they were to keep us from bothering the Klans. because the fact is they were putting their lives on the line, because we could have easily been some radical person among ours could have jumped on one of them,
right,
you know, before marching around.
Right.
But then I remember one time here, and I believe that was even during Susan Savage's time, when a few Klansmen were having a meeting somewhere in Tulsa, and they had a special meeting here at Mount Zion, and the mayor asked ministers and church folk to come together, and I don't know what purpose we were together for. I guess not to go down and disturb them or anything like that, but to kind of clear the air, you know. I remember having to make a short speech in the session of it, but the Klansmen are nothing like that in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Not in my time. I mean, I haven't been in a great, great bother.
You remember names of stores downtown Tulsa, like Renberg's and Clark's Good Clothes?
Yeah.
Vandiver's?
Vandiver's, yeah.
What about the restaurants?
You know, I don't remember too many restaurants downtown, other than Piccadilly was downtown. That was one that we did a lot of work with.
Where was that located?
On 3rd Street. The Globe Store was right there close by. It was on 3rd, probably where the World Building is, part of the Tulsa World, between Main and Boulder, on 3rd Street, on the east side of the street. There was a Piccadilly restaurant in there.
When you were speaking from the pulpit, did you talk about racism, or was that an issue for you?
Not really. Throughout my ministry, I've been called upon to make speeches with reference to the Martin Luther King Memorial. Your idea was to encourage folk, if you don't push, nothing moves, you know. Sometimes you got to get up and get out and get involved in what's going on around you. Those would be some of the things that I would advocate. You would tell the story of how Moses and the children of Israel, how they marched out of slavery, you know, journeyed toward the promised land. But you wouldn't just harp on that sort of thing.
But you could not preach just dealing with the Old Testament or New Testament. You would bring in the life of your congregants, what they were facing,
yes,
social issues.
Right.
Certainly had to be mixed into your sermons.
Right.
You make application from the Bible to where they were living at that time.
Right.
You had to feel that this was a real key position you were in.
Yeah. Minister of a congregation, and we had a pretty large congregation at that time, much larger than it is now. You had to challenge the folk, and you had to keep them encouraged. Hope is the last thing that dies within a person. Give them that extra hope. Some sermons that I recall preaching, you know, that hope is not just a four-letter word, you know. And some prayers that you can pray, but then sometimes you have to put hands and feet to your prayers.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. That was some of the ideas.
With your preaching ministry and you're out in the community, would people come to you for counsel? You'd be a counselor then to these people?
Certainly so. There'd be people who have all kinds of problems, even now. I mean, I think I spend a good deal of my ministry right now talking with people with problems. 3 points that I try to share with people. For the past, we ought to be mindful from where we've come. Of our past, we ought to be mindful. In the present, we ought to be faithful. And for the future, hopeful. I mean, those mindful, faithful, and hopeful, those are keys that we have to live by. Things be bad right now, but let's hope that there's a better day even on tomorrow.
Right.